Oh, hallelujah to the name of the Lord, that name that's above every name. Praise God, hallelujah, at the name of Jesus. Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. What a lovely name your name is, Jesus. Woo, what a powerful name your name is, Jesus. What a great name your name is, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the saving name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Woo, hallelujah. The blood is invoked through the power of that name. Lord bless you as you're seated this morning. And thank you, Brother Calvin, for allowing me to come. This is a great honor when a man can open up his pulpit to another man. And I don't take it lightly at all today, but I feel very complimented. Church, y'all are so blessed with great leadership. You're a blessed church. The pre-service prayer that was here this morning and the good worship. Heaven joined with us. The angels joined with us. Praise the Lord. They're rejoicing too. Even when a sinner repents, the Bible said the angels rejoice. They're happy about what's going on in the house of the Lord. Praise God, because someday we're going to join them before the throne. Hallelujah. Where they're singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God omnipotent reigneth. To him be glory and honor and power. Praise God. We're going to join in. Oh, what a wonderful future the church has today. And we just feel honored to be here. And I'm glad to have met your good pastor's wife and family. And this church is in for a great, great future time. God's going to do great things for you all. Hallelujah. His timing is his timing, but it'll be the right time. And it'll be just like when Jesus stepped aboard the boat and they was in the storm, the Bible said there immediately became a calm. When God moves, it's just smooth sailing. Praise the Lord. Before I teach this morning or preach, I want to just share with you to encourage you. We started home mission work 42 years ago in our home, and then later moved in our little carport, 10 by 20, and then later started a building project, moved in that building unfinished when we got the outside done. But it all started by just driving down the main 59 highway one day, and I felt the Lord impress upon me, and almost, it wasn't an audible voice, but just like God was speaking directly to me to build a church at this certain location. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it, but you got to help me. Yeah. I can't, but you can. And so we stopped by and talked about purchasing property, and the lady said, no way, it's not for sale. She's born and raised there, and the old house was still back behind there where she was born in. And I went by a second time, got the same answer, but it upset the lady a little bit. She was really, she said, preacher, don't you understand English? I told you this is not for sale. Got a little huffy with me. I said, well, thank you, and I went on about my business. I fasted and prayed about a third time, and that day she came out of the house with an unusual grin on her face. I didn't know what to expect, but I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I won't bother this lady no more. If you're in this, it's your will, then I need an answer today. And so she told me, she said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell you all this property, any part of it you want. Walk out here right now, Main 59 Highway. Tell me what you want. So we walked up front. I said, well, what if we just cut a line right through here? She said, you take care of the survey, you take care of the paperwork. And we didn't even talk price at that time. But anyway, bought 2.5 acres and was able to purchase that. And there's an old lot, an old barn and pecan trees, beautiful land. But a lot of clearing to be done, and people would stop by and say, how'd y'all buy this land? I said, we did, and God did. I want to encourage you, church, when God's involved. Hallelujah. When God's involved, it don't matter the circumstance, the surroundings, whether the waves are boisterous and it looks like it's going to take you under. When you cry out to the Lord, he's there. Praise God, and it became a calm. I just feel a great future for this congregation here today. And I'm going to just rush through this right quick. There's a lot of detail, but it started out to be the beginning of where we are today. Some years later, that bill was completed and paid for. We had a dedication that was paid for, and then some years later, the state come through and wanted to take an acre of our property on the front, about half of our building, and so had no choice much about it. We did go through eminent domain proceeding and worked out to be a better blessing for us. And that's really a simple thing. I thought it was a court case, but it's not really. We just went before a banker and a realtor and an attorney and explained our case and asked for some more money. They said, no problem. State was there. That's all there was to it. The state man said, I'm glad you asked. Anyway, it worked out to be a blessing. But then we were praying about rebuilding. And our ground was a little bit low. Part of it had held water. It didn't drain real good. And there was above us, across the highway, about a quarter mile, a crest of a hill that crested. And I asked the Lord to let us build a church upon that hill. It would not seem like work out at all. We walked the property, prayed, fasted, and sought the Lord about it. Walked the whole property and claimed it like Abraham and Joshua, praise the Lord. And anyway, I'd kind of give up on the idea. It was 22,500 acres. That was about over 20 years ago. And I couldn't buy any part of it. And so we just kind of scratched the idea a little bit in my mind. I thought, well, we'll just build here, but because nothing's working out. Anyway, we had a business meeting on a Monday night. I told the men about that property, and they said, well, Brother Matlin, believe God for a miracle. You teach us to believe God for miracles, and I believe he's still a miracle-working God. He is the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same forever. Praise the Lord. That's the conversation of those that preach under the word of the Lord, Hebrews 13:7, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. He's still a miracle-working God. But anyway, we had a business meeting, walked out that night, and I shut the door, and I pointed to that property. I said, if that ever works, if it ever happens, it will be God and God alone. It'll take a miracle of God. Shut the door and walked home, or walked out and went home. Next morning, 9 o'clock, I got a call from a business next door to us, a trucking company. And they said, preacher, we bought some property. It's up on a hill above the church across the highway, and it's 9.63 acres. And he just said 9-point-something acres. And he said, if we take care of all the paperwork, deed work, would y'all trade us even? We had 4 acres left. He said, would y'all trade us even for that piece of property? That was the next morning at 9 o'clock. I was totally speechless. I mumbled out, well, I'll let you know after Wednesday night, and hung up. It's about all I could get out. But anyway, we done the deal, and they took care of everything. We gained 5.63 acres free. Praise the Lord. And after all that was done, then I met with the company, some of the men that were stockholders, and I told them the whole story. And I said, God made the decision, not you and I. God, yes. And boy, our church Wednesday night, hallelujah. There was some carpet burning going on. Praise the Lord. Everybody was happy, including me. So, and today, we built a facility there. God, he just went ahead of us on everything we was doing, every part of the building we needed. He went ahead of us. And we ended up building it for $35 a square foot. If you know anything about building, that's almost unheard of. Even that many years ago, it was about unheard of. It was probably $100 a square foot back then, but and dedicated it, paid for. I want to encourage you. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's everything you need. He's everything you're looking for. He's everything you're desiring. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Praise the Lord. And Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for. A hope is a believing in a fact, evident what you can't see, but you've got confidence, praise God, that you're going to receive it from the Lord. Praise God. Faith is still powerful in this day and hour because we serve a living God that has risen from the tomb. Praise the Lord. He come back to be in the church as the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He is Spirit. He is Spirit. And he fills us. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost. We do belong to him. We are his church. He is the head of the body of the church. He's over everything going on in our life today. You can trust him. You can believe in him. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, God has been good. We've ended up with finally about 10 acres there now. And then across the farm road, they're cutting a new farm road through. And we've got about 15 acres on the other side. So now we got about 25 acres all together connected around the church. Paid for. God is good. And he owns it all. We're just stewards of what he blesses us with. And I would encourage you to believe him for great things and mighty things. Hallelujah. Believe him for great things and mighty things. Woo! I've seen him do many miracles in our years of ministry, and he's still a miracle-working God today. I've asked God to do miracles in this congregation, even this morning and yesterday and last night. Praise God, or night before that. Praise the Lord. I believe he's able to do exceeding and abundant and above all that ye shall ask or think. Woo! It's beyond our imagination sometimes. What our God wants to do and will do for his church. The earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. It's his. He owns it all today. And God will help us to be good stewards of what he blesses us with. Thank God. So there we are today, and God has just been good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope this is in order today. Because it was such a beautiful prayer here today, and before service, pre-service prayer, and that's the key to every service. Yes. It is. Matter of fact, that's the key to living for God. I want to take a verse from the Bible today, the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1, and a request of the disciples. Because I like to undergird and to strengthen and to just build up a little greater in your mind the value of what praying can do. What praying can do. What praying can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 1 in Luke's gospel. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Lord bless you as you're seated today. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. 16:17 says, pray without ceasing. Praise God. Are living in a continual attitude of prayer. Praise God. It's something we develop. The more you pray, the more you enjoy praying. The less you pray, the less you'll want to pray. Our flesh, as a general rule, does not want to pray. Our flesh is usually, as the Bible said, the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, Romans chapter 8. And Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said the spiritual things of God are foolishness to the carnal man. But to be spiritually minded, in Romans 8, is life and peace. There's so much that comes through a dedicated, committed, constant prayer life. And so we're going to let Jesus teach us about prayer this morning. Amen. He set one of the greatest, so great of example that his disciples looked at him and said, teach us to pray. Why would he have to pray? Because he's the Son of God. Why would he have to pray? He was the God-man. The Word was made flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. Praise God, without him was done anything made that was made. One creator today. God robed himself in flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man did not become God. God became man. God chose to present himself to man. Called it the Son of God, the Lamb, John 1:29, to take away the sins of the world. That's how he came to offer his own sacrifice. Praise God for mankind. God loves humanity today. God loves us individually today. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's where you start out with prayer to God. That's the way to approach God. The Bible says, let me just get it verbatim here, 1:14, the book of Acts. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. This was what produced the birth of the church, was praying and seeking God. The prophet in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, talks about seeking God with your whole heart. He said, I'll be found of you. Glory. Glory. So here the Bible lets us know that Jesus set the example. And Lord, teach us to pray. Let me turn to chapter 3 of the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 21. I've written these scriptures out so we go a little faster today. And just look at, let Jesus teach us how to pray. It's a beautiful, what word could I use to describe? It's a beautiful communication, prayer is. Just talking to God. Hallelujah. Prayer is just simply talking to God. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus teaches us to pray. It is the future of this church is in the hands of people that pray. Said Chronicles 7:14, and my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. I will hear from heaven. Praise God. You don't get to know anybody if you don't communicate with them. Communication is a very important step. Praise the Lord. When you're courting, you do a lot of communicating. Don't need to ever stop that. Learn to be a good listener. Hallelujah. Communication, you get to know somebody by talking with them and to them and listening to them and understanding things about them, what they like, what they don't like. Well, I'm glad the Word lets us know today. God's requirements. Praise God. He said, be ye holy, for I'm holy, saith the Lord. That's His requirement. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's His requirement today. Holiness is not something we just necessarily put on, but when the inside is clean and the inside is right, the outside will look good too. We'll be lights to the world. Praise God. It makes a difference in our life. Hallelujah. We look different. We talk different. We act different. Amen. Hallelujah. We're Spirit-led life. I always say when people repent, and if there's no change in their life when they repent, then they hadn't really repented. Real repentance always demands a real change. That's true repentance. The mind changes. The heart changes. Everything about us changes. Our whole attitude about life, praise God, we're drawing nigh. We're drawing close. We're approaching as they did in Acts 1:14. They were praying for the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were tearing for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you'll receive the promise of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't just a little simple, I confess. No, friend, they were praying. They were getting everything in order in their life. They were expecting as they prayed. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the feast day, harvest feast, the Bible said there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind that filled all the house, just like He told Nicodemus. Every man's born of the Spirit is like the wind. It bloweth where it listeth. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes, but you can hear the sound. And so there was identification came when the Holy Ghost, the cloven tongues, like as a fire, set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. There was no need for an interpreter. It wasn't a message in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, howbeit he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Paul said in that same chapter, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. I'm bringing all this back to prayer, believe it or not. Praise God. That's your approach to God. It's very, very important. Hallelujah. We don't enter into His courts without anything. We come in with praise. Into His gates with thanksgiving. We've got to recognize who He is and what He is and what He wants to be to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And friend, they began to talk about it and testify about it. And it spread throughout Jerusalem. 3,000, later 5,000. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Now, when all the people were baptized, John Baptist is baptizing folks. All the people were baptized. It came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. Don't miss that. And praying. Why would he pray? What was he praying for? Praise God. The Bible said the heaven was open. I want to use this terminology today. You know what he's saying? He was saying help. Help. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find help. When? In the time of need. He's crying out for help. Praise God. He participated in the same right that you and I do when we pray. When we pray, we're saying the same thing. I need your help, Lord. I need you, Jesus. Woo, I'm seeking you, Jesus. I'm reaching out to you, Jesus. In essence, he's saying here, I'm one of you. He set the example. Somebody comes along and says, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. That ain't in the book. The Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Friend, don't throw away baptism. You can't get the blood applied any other way. We're buried with him in baptism. Praise God. Like as Jesus was buried in Romans 6. And the Bible said, we arise to walk in the newness of life. He don't leave us where he finds us. Ephesians 2:1 says, you that were dead in trespasses and sins, you hath he quickened. The Holy Ghost makes alive. The Holy Ghost is life, spiritual life. The soul that's dead, it comes alive when the Holy Ghost comes in. Woo, I'm glad we got a good life to live. The old song said, I just started living. I found me a brand new life. It changed my direction and took away all my strife. I'm a newborn believer. Woo! It's a glorious infilling. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is saying here, as we would say, he's sharing in our frailty, our human. He was the God-man. Not only was he God, he was man. Hallelujah, he was man. All man, a real man. Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8. The Bible said, but made of himself no, or made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made like, or made in the likeness of men. Thank God for a Savior that knows what you go through, what you feel, what you face, what you deal with. And thank God there's help in the time of need. His grace is very sufficient today. There's help for us. Prayer is just a calling out to God for help. Amen. This feeling wrenches our soul sometime. And Jesus cried out. He's about to embark on a great ministry. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. John saw this. This was symbolism. He didn't look like a bird coming down. But no, he just saw the Spirit manifestation of God coming down upon him. And the Bible said that a voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom or in thee I am well pleased. Hallelujah. What he's really saying is, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Hallelujah. Praise God. All in one body, deity and humanity, all fused in one body. Jesus said, the works that I do, it's not I that doeth the works, it is the Father in me. Some people don't understand the beautiful oneness of God. How could God become man? He could become man like it be the cloud in the desert for the Israelites by day and the fire by night. He can manifest himself however he wants to manifest himself. But he chose in the last day, praise God, in the days of the birth of the church, he chose to come and walk among men. I say, what a God, what a Savior. Woo, I'm he that blotteth out thy sins. Praise God. Amen. Beside me, there's no Savior, Isaiah said. He came to save. The word Jesus simply means Jehovah's salvation, Jehovah's Savior. He's come to save us. I'm come to save, to seek, and to save that which is lost. He's still in the saving business today. He will save your soul today. Hallelujah. He can fill you today. He can minister to you today in the power of the Holy Ghost. Whosoever will, just let him come. But you're going to have to learn to pray and find, amen, your way to God through praying. Just as Jesus did. Praise God. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. I want to talk about a lonely place. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus taught us that prayer takes effort. Most of the time our flesh is not too much involved in wanting to pray. It takes a spirit to subdue this old flesh, Romans chapter 8. We crucify the flesh, the Bible said. Put it to death. Amen. Hallelujah. The deeds of the body. Thank you, Jesus. Then he said, we'll live. He's letting us know. And so the Bible said he'd been in Capernaum. He had been doing a lot of, or Capernaum. He had been doing a lot of miracles and healings and working and ministry. And in his flesh, he was tired just like we get tired. The Bible said in John 4, he sat thus on the well, being wearied with his journey. I'm glad we have a Savior today that absolutely can relate to every bit of our life today. There's not a thing we go through that he don't understand. Praise God. He knows our thoughts. Even before we think them, he knows them afar off. I'm glad we serve that kind of Savior today. Praise God. He can not only tell you what's wrong with you, he's got the remedy. It'd be a sad thing to go to a medical physician and say, I think I broke a bone. Yeah, you got a bone broke, but sorry, ain't nothing I can do for you. Friend, I'm glad Jesus has an answer to the problem. He has a solution. When the word begins to reveal like a mirror to us how our life needs to change, I'm glad he don't leave us just standing without. He's got a remedy for it. Praise God. The washing of the water, the word, the power of the Holy Ghost, the potter can take the clay and work with that clay and make it brand new again. We serve a God that has the answers. He has the remedy. He has the solution today. You don't have a problem that he can't help you with. Turn it over to the problem solver. Woo! But this was the key. He went out to a lonely place and began to pray. Hallelujah. Our flesh says, wait for a more convenient time. That's our flesh today. Jesus didn't make that mistake that we do sometimes. He just pressed the flesh. He was tired, but he knew the value of getting out into a lonely place. Matthew, Jesus talked about the prayer closet, chapter 5. Enter into the closet, shut the door, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. He said, when you pray. When you pray. There's times you need to be alone with the Lord. The old song says, there's days I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I could tell him all my troubles all alone. Oh, what a great God we have to confide in today. And a high priest that you can pour out your heart to. You just got to get in that place sometimes, a lonely place, a solitary place, and put some effort into it. You may not feel like it, but friend, pour your heart out to God. Right. James said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's prayer that has effect. It's prayer that's sincere and fervent from the heart. I've never seen it fail yet, friend. God will not pass up a fervent prayer. If Elijah prayed so fervently that it rained on the earth for 3 years and 6 months, friend, and he prayed again, the earth of the clouds brought forth rain. And James said, Elias was a man of like passion as we are. Praise God. We're serving the same God today. You can pray and get results when it's fervent. It's sincere. Hallelujah. It's you and God alone. Praise the Lord. And nobody knows what you've prayed about, but he'll reward you openly. God to do things in your life. Jesus taught us this in a very beautiful way. He didn't let his daily routine, he meant his time with the Father. He didn't let it pass. I've got to pray. Praise God. Prayer is not worth an effort. It's not worth anything at all. Effort in prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. What else does he do today? Well, it's either a few hours of sleep or precious old flesh, your time in prayer. Hallelujah. Our flesh. Men put an 80-hour week sometimes in. That's double time nearly. Put their whole heart into it. I worked 7-12s one time for 90 days. Dark and you went to work and dark and you got off. And it was tough. And easy on the body. Well, I'll tell you one thing, friend. I dedicated. I was hired. I was being paid by the hour. I was dedicated to that job. I don't do no less for the Lord. I'm going to make time to pray. I'm going to take time to pray. Well, women will stay up wee hours a night sometime doing housework just because company's coming. We say sometimes I don't have time to pray. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Amen. If you can take time for anything else, we can take time to pray. I love praying at church, but I like that daily prayer. I try to go every morning to the church and spend time with the Lord. Praise God. Get up early, be there by myself, and have the best time with the Lord. And I miss that when I can't get there to the church and pray. Things come up sometime, but oh my. I make it a point. Praise God. Luke chapter 6. Jesus teaches us something else here that's beautiful. Because he was making a great, great decision. And when you've got a major decision to make in your life, I don't have anything better than to hem it with prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've written these up. I can read my writing here, my printing. So I wanted to turn and read. Praise God. What a difference. What a difference a night makes. It came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray. I'm with the apostles. The Lord teach me to pray. He went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. because he was going to make a major, major, major decision. And all night in prayer to God, as a man, he's praying. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. Hey, brothers, men, come gather around. Out of that group of men, however many there were, the Bible says when they called him his disciples, and of them he chose 12 whom he named apostles. Apostles are founders. They're starters. Praise God. And he needed some men to carry on his work and let this work continue. He knew Calvary was in the future. He knew the time would come and he would no longer be on this earth in the physical body. He had to have men that would carry on and men that would spread forth the same word, the work that he was doing. And he chose out of that group of men, however many they were, 12. One place the Bible said, Jesus said, except you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you have no life in you. The Bible said many turned and walked away. And so Peter spoke up. He said, wilt thou also go away? Peter spoke up and said, Lord, where could we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Yeah. I'm glad he was very particular, the men he chose, and he knew if he chose the wrong man, even Judas was chosen at the time, but the Bible said he was foreordained to do what he did. God has it all in control. Pilate and the Sanhedrin and all the court system of that day, they didn't have things in control. They just thought they did. Jesus had it all in control. The whole time, it was God's plan. Praise the Lord. We'll look at his prayer a little bit later about that. Praise God, but hallelujah. Amen. How do you make decisions? How do you make choices that are going to affect your children, that are going to affect the future, that are going to affect people around you? How are you going to make those decisions? Jesus chose to pray. He made an all-night prayer vigil out of it. Lord, teach us to pray because this was the most major decision. The whole future of the church and the birth of the church depended on men that he chose. It's very important. Perhaps we wouldn't have what we have today had history been written different. But I'm glad history was written the way it's written. Praise God, upon this rock I'll build my church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's very important. And this close circle of apostles, praise God. Why did Jesus do that? Couldn't he have done it in a shorter time, shorter way, a different way? Maybe cast lots as they did for Matthias in the book of Acts. No, the Lord said, I've got to pray about this as a man. I've got to pray about these men that are with me because I'm making some of the most valuable choices that I'll ever make in this world, choosing the right man for the job. Praise God. I'm convinced today that God has chosen the right man, Brother Calvin, Sister Calvin, for this church. I feel witness of the Holy Ghost. God has opened this door. Praise God. Brother, you've done a wise choice. Praise God. God's backing it up. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You just, woo! You just wait and see what God's going to do. I just feel something good stirring in the Holy Ghost. Woo! You just wait and see the hand of God. He will do exceeding and abundant above all you could ask or think. He will work according to the power that's working in us today. Amen. He is able. He is able, but we lack this and we need that. He's got it all today. Hallelujah. I'm just a living testimony of what God can do, what he will do, and what he has done. Praise the Lord. Great decisions. A night of prayer enabled him to continue the ministry in these men. That's how important it was. Luke chapter 9, verse 18. Let's look at Jesus. Like, Lord, teach us to pray. He taught them to pray by example. This is all recorded in the Gospels, and I'm glad it is. How important it is. Praise the Lord that it's written in the Gospels. Thank you, Jesus. It came to pass when he was done or alone praying. His disciples were with them. He asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Matthew 16, 18 talks about this. Jesus, or 16, chapter 16, he asked them, who do men say that I am? But I went to Luke because Luke includes this word, praying. He was alone praying. Hallelujah. It made all the difference. It still makes all the difference. And the Bible says, who do people say that I am? The answering said, John Baptist. Elias. Others say that one of the prophets is risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. He was preparing these men to speak boldly. When he was gone, they had to have a revelation of who he was. They had to understand that he was the God-man. They had to understand he was the Christ. They had to understand that God had sent him. They had to understand the wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself. They had to understand when we see, as he told Philip, amen, John 14, he that seeth me, Philip, you've seen the Father. How sayest thou, showest the Father? Have I been so long with you, thou hast not known? You don't know who I am? Hey, friend, you got to have a revelation. I don't have to worry about who to pray to. Praise God. He that sat upon the throne, the book of Revelation, there's only one throne there. He's shown as the Lamb in the midst of the throne, his role of redemption, but he's also shown as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He that sat upon the throne, praise God. And John describes him. Hey, when you pray, we're praying to the mighty Creator God of heaven. Hallelujah. He's not just somebody. He's not just anybody. They had to have revelation, praise God, of who they were serving. And who do you say that I am? Thou art the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the Christ. Hallelujah. You're Jehovah God that's come and walked among us. You're our Messiah. They need to be convinced, because when he was going away, they had to have some understanding. Praise God that he was still with them. I will not leave you comfortless. My Father and I will come and make our abode with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thou art the Christ. Jeremiah said it this way, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, and fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I couldn't keep it quiet. Hallelujah. These men in the book of Acts, of course, brought into before the Sanhedrin, the council, said, we told you don't preach anymore in this man's name. You're going about going to put his blood upon us. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Judge him within yourselves. All we can do is testify of the things we have seen and heard. They heard what Jesus said, and they saw how he prayed, and they knew the benefits, praise God, that come along. Hallelujah. And understanding that when they prayed in the name of Jesus, devils had to flee. When they prayed in the name of Jesus, sickness, amen, people could recover and be healed. Hallelujah. When they prayed in Jesus' name, Mark writes it. Praise God. He said, if you drink any deadly thing or take up serpents, it ain't going to hurt you. The devils believe in one God and fear and tremble today. They recognized who he was. Hallelujah. When the church prays in Jesus' name, anytime you pray in Jesus' name, friend, it's like hitting the devil with a ball bat. I'm here to tell you, friend, there's power in the name of Jesus. You can still pray in that name. The church has the authority to pray in that name. We're wearing the name. We're people of the name. Praise God. He's the name of the family of God today. We bear his name. Hallelujah. And we can still pray with authority. We can rebuke things in his name. Hallelujah. Jesus told the devils, hold your peace. And they had to hold their peace. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. We had a jail ministry about 3 years or plus, I guess somewhere along there. But one morning, one Sunday, we was up there, and a little young guy in the corner, he stood up and he said, get out of here, preacher. We don't hear nothing you got to say. I was locked up back then in what's called a bullpen. You can't leave. You're locked up with them. You're right there in the midst of them. And a big guy, bigger than me, stood up and he said, hey, preacher, he said, white boy, he said, sit down and shut up. He said, say home, preacher. I said, thank you, Lord. God just moved right in. We had church. Hallelujah. That young man left, went back to somewhere back there. He didn't have to hear it, but thank God the Holy Ghost is still greater. Thank you, Jesus. It's so powerful they brought an earthquake. Book of Acts, Paul and Silas, praise God, singing praises and praying. They was praying and singing praises. They were just praying and singing praises, and suddenly, woo, the jail began to... Well, it's just a typical church service. When the Holy Ghost moved in, the Bible said the doors came open, shackles fell off, everybody's bonds fell off. Everybody, that's a move of the Holy Ghost. Anybody that comes bound, when you come into the presence of the Holy Ghost, amen, of God, hallelujah, he's in a service. And he has preeminence in that service, friend. You may come bound, but you can leave set free. They even had a great, great baptism on that night of the jailer and all of his household before it's over. That's a good church service. Amen. Have a great move of God and bear somebody in Jesus' name. All the same service. But they prayed. They prayed. They prayed. It's still powerful. And sang praises. The devil cannot keep a person down like that. When in the midst of that kind of persecution, you can still have a song and still pray and still believe. Still have confidence and still have faith in the mighty God you're serving. Not faith in your circumstance. Don't worry about your circumstance. He's bigger than your circumstance. He's greater than your problem. So that's easier said than done, it may be, but faith is what you hope for. Faith is a substance of things. It's evidence of what you can't even see. But friend, it's powerful today. He is still a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Praise God. What a difference a night makes. Praise God. And what a difference he's bearing the soul here. He's letting them know, amen, what they had never really known before. They got revelation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, this flesh of God felt the anguish of taking sin upon that fleshly body. It felt it. It felt it. Jesus, when he was in the garden, prayed until his sweat became as drops of blood. Three times he prayed. He went in a little deeper in the garden. He was in heavy travail. And I would be too. That's his flesh praying. Praise God. He could sympathize with our weakness. And still does. The longest trip you'll ever take is from your head to your heart. But prayer can help you connect the head and the heart together. Praise God. Not only you get your mind made up. I'm believing God's going to do this. But also the heart begins to rejoice. You begin to feel a confidence. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, in that after you've done the will of God, you have need of patience, that you may inherit the promise. Praise God. God's timing in our timing. But I promise you, friend, he's never been late. Amen. For anything. Amen. Mary and Martha said, if you'd have been here 4 days ago, he's never been late. Why, he said he's just asleep. Hallelujah. That took some folks aback. Well, if he's sleeping, one of them said he's doing well. When they got there, they said, oh, 4 days ago he died, Jesus. If you'd have just been here. Hallelujah. He's on time. Martha, did not I tell you I am the resurrection? It didn't focus in her mind. Her heart was having a hard time grasping that. She was heartbroken. The Bible said they wept. Jesus wept himself. When he saw John 11:35, he felt sympathetic feelings for those people that lost Lazarus. And the Bible said he loved Lazarus. Right. But on the other side of the coin, faith says he's just asleep. Hallelujah. Lazarus, come forth. It ain't possible. It can't happen. He's been dead 4 days. Lazarus, come forth. I thank you, Father, that thou hast heard me. And for thee, for their sakes, praise God. He wanted them to hear it. Woo, I know you always hear me. Boy, that's confidence in prayer. When I pray, I know you're hearing God. I know you're there with me. I know you're going to meet me in prayer. I'm going to my closet. I'm going to shut the door. And me and you's going to have some conversation. It is so powerful. Praise God. He does promise he will reward you openly. Oh, Jesus, teach us to pray. Hallelujah. Whom say that I am? Oh, my, this was a powerful revelation. Two more things I'll talk about here and close this morning. It's one thing to commit yourself to a certain commitment, but it's another thing to flesh it and carry it out. Hallelujah. Say about my flesh. You just, all you got to do is just set aside a day to fast. You'll see how strong your old flesh is. Hallelujah. Hunger is a powerful thing. Now, there's been times that the Lord has moved on me to fast, and it was really not hard. It's something you just feel in God. And I believe so fast that the Lord ordains. But then there's times I've asked our church to at least pray fast and pray one day a week. Choose the day, but at least one day a week. Fasting is very important, too, because it really subdues the flesh, lets you know who's really in control. Amen. The Holy Ghost of the flesh. Hallelujah. So you commit to that and you commit to do that. Praise God. And so Jesus, he's praying like this. And he goes on to say, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Praise God. In the garden. Hallelujah. The flesh recoiled. If it be possible, Father, let the cup pass. You'd have probably prayed the same as you're facing crucifixion. The Romans used that as a means to really let the public know this is what we do to offenders. People break the law of Rome. A strong, heavy arm. And this is what we do. And it was a horrible way, a slow, painful way to die sometimes. That's why they'd break the leg so you'd die quicker. Die of asphyxiation. And the body finally can't raise up again on that little part of the nail where the feet are nailed down. Gives you a little bit of this. But after a while, you can't do that. You can't raise up anymore and get any air in the lung, and you die. But they came to Jesus, and he was already dead because prophecy had been forth. His bones would not be broken. Hallelujah. He gave up the ghost. Woo, himself. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 15. Let's just go there and two more scriptures. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord, today. You teach us to pray. You show us how to pray, Lord. Anybody want your prayer life to get richer and better and deeper? Then follow his example. He set the example for us. And I firmly know beyond a shadow of a doubt there will be more things accomplished through prayer than any other way in life. Because that gets God included in everything you are doing. Hallelujah. Verse 34, chapter 15. And the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, Sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He feels the same thing we feel sometimes. You ever went to prayer and didn't feel a thing? That's where you got to be rooted in who you're praying to and who he is. Because your flesh, faith is not governed by feelings. If it is, we wouldn't have any faith. Because we feel all kind of ways. We feel up one day and down the next. We feel in and we feel out sometime. Faith is predicated on what the Word says. Praise God. And believe in God that he is who he is and he is what he said he would be. And as I said earlier, before, if he was, he still is. I mean, which was, which is, and which is to come. The Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Revelation 1 and 8. He's still the same. Hallelujah. So, say, well, I don't feel spiritual. And you don't have to feel spiritual in order to pray, or even religious to pray. Prayer is something that Jesus said when you pray, because situations come just like this, and sometimes you won't have any motivation to pray at all. Now, he had great motivation here because he's praying, if it be possible. Praise God. Oh, God, you've forsaken me. Some of them stood by, heard it, and they said, behold, he calleth Elias. They run with a sponge and full of vinegar, put it on a reed, gave it to him to drink, saying, let alone. Let's see whether Elias will come or not. Jesus cried with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a supposition. Sometimes we think we have to feel spiritual to pray. No, friend, we pray because we're commanded to pray. Pray without ceasing. But you feel the absence. You feel the absence. Jesus felt the absence of the Spirit within that body. And he cried out in despair. Eloi, Eloi, Sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Woo. Oh, that's a horrible time in life. So why did Jesus ask? The same reason we ask. Sometimes we get to feeling that way. God, where are you at? God, where are you at? God, where are you at? He's going to say, I'm right where I've always been. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He don't leave us. He said he wouldn't. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But the devil comes in sometime with a lot of gloom and doom, and you go to feeling just, well, with despair. He hadn't went nowhere. It's just our old flesh steps in. We feel that forsaken feeling. But here's the answer to it. Praise God, is to pray. And you believe that there's somebody there that can answer. Jesus prayed because he believed there was somebody that can answer as a man. We pray. I still believe he's a God that will answer. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Luke 23 and 46. Lord, teach us to pray. And so I Hope you'll enjoy this somewhat of an outline today about the Lord and His prayer life, and glean and learn the most beautiful thing we can do as a church. Oh, don't never let up on pre-service prayer. I believe church starts in prayer. We teach it at home. We practice it at home. Hallelujah. Come before His presence. Praise the Lord. Chapter 23, verse 46. What's beautiful about the Lord and what's beautiful about prayer, you can choose your exit. You can choose your exit. Hallelujah. We don't leave out here with fear and trembling. I've been at people's places when they died, done a lot of funerals, and you just notice reactions of different people and how they died. Some die with a peaceful look on their face, almost with a smile. Psalmist said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, because it's just temporary. This ain't the end of it. Praise God. We're just starting a new beginning. Amen. That wonderful promise of eternity. When the body's reunited with the spirit. Hallelujah. We take on our change. Woo! And put on a new body. No more pains. No more aches. No more sickness. Hallelujah. Oh, the more high mileage you get on your body, the better it sounds. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But in the very face of death, when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Praise God. Amen. This is the lowest place you can go in life, crucifixion. But in this very lowest ebb of Jesus' life, He said, Father, into Your hands. Whew. I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. We're enamored with our promise of an eternal home sometime that we forget. All right. That we're still in the hands of God even in this life. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place, but we're still in His hands in this life. Into Thy hands I commend my spirit. You're in the hands of God. So Jesus is speaking words of quiet faith here. One that has known many battles, and He now longs for a time of rest. Praise God. And He believed that the same Father that cared for Him through His earthly life would care for Him now. Hallelujah. I lay down my life, and I take it up again. I am the resurrection and the life. I have power to lay it down. I've got power to take it up. No man taketh my life from me. Pilate said, I've got the power to release you. I've got the power to let you go. Jesus said, you don't have any power save that which my Father is allowing you to have or giving you today. I'm telling you, friend, He was in control the whole time. The devil sometimes just wants to make you think he's got things in his hands. I beg to differ today. The old song says, amen. Hallelujah. He's got the whole world in His hands. Want to stand with me this morning? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. Our earthly life today is in His hands. Praise God. We're going to cross that river. And when we cross that river, like others have gone before us, it's going to be a beautiful, quiet, peaceful time. Into Your hands, God, I'm commending my spirit. Woo! Hallelujah! Job said, though the skin worms devour this old flesh, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God for myself and not another. Hallelujah! He believed in a resurrection. There's hope. He said, if a stump's cut down, when it gets the scent of water, it's going to bring forth a shoot. Life. Typical resurrection. Praise the Lord. Teach us to pray. Yes. Teach us to pray. I hope I've encouraged you today with the Word of God. Amen. To just pray and pray and pray without ceasing. Through the day on your job, at the grocery store, wherever you're, whoever you're with. Praise God. Just, it might not be audible prayer, but you can have a spirit of prayer all the time. Because the Holy Ghost can speak to you and say, witness to that person. Invite, compel that person. Praise God. It produces that sensitivity to God when we have a consistent, dedicated prayer life. Lord bless you today, church.